older daughter said to the younger daughter, "There is not a man to come into us after the manner of all the earth." So this is what we're going to do. We're going to get our father drunk. I will say, I don't like to tell this story, but we need to consider this story. So we're going to get our father drunk, and I'll go to bed with him tonight. Then tomorrow, we'll get him drunk again, and you will go to bed with him tomorrow night. So that's what they did. They got their father drunk, and each one of them took turns in going to bed with him. They conceived. How could such a thing happen? Lot had been a good man. He was a good man. How could such a thing happen? The answer is poor, abominable decisions. A decision such as you may be capable of making, if you're not careful. We can all make bad decisions, and when we do, we'll pay for it. Before this terrible episode, Abraham had come with Lot, his nephew, into Canaan. And then after a while, they'd gone down to Egypt, stayed down there for a while. And after Pharaoh showed Abraham the door, they came back. And they came to Bethel and Ai on the ridge of the hill country. And that gave them a good view of the north and south and the east and west. So what happened was they were very wealthy men. Abraham was very wealthy. Lot was very wealthy. So they didn't have enough grass and everything, the water, everything. So their herdsmen began to struggle with one another and fight with one another. So Abraham came to Lot, and he said, "Now, Lot, we be brethren. We are brethren. It is not fit for us to act like this. It is not fit for us to let our herdsmen act like this. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do." And Abraham showed his kindness and his consideration by saying, "You take the first choice. So I'll tell you what, Lot. I want you to look around, and I want you to choose where you're going to go. Wherever you go, I'll go the other way." So, as I think about Lot, I see him turning around and looking toward the south, down toward Sodom and Gomorrah. And the grass, water, everything down there, everything that animals could need, everything that animals could use. Now, he also would look to the north. They had a view there that pretty well covered all the land. And so Lot could go toward the north, the upper Jordan Valley. He'd go to the left, go to the west, go to the east. And he decided that he was going to go down and move in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He chose, the Bible says, he looked about him and chose the well-watered plain of the Jordan at the southern end of the valley. And by the way, one of the things you need to understand as you're thinking about decisions, now Lot did not think about this. You know, it really doesn't make much difference to the morality of an animal where an animal is. It doesn't affect the morality of the animal. He's still going to be an animal. But Lot failed to realize that he had some human beings in that family. And human beings are drastically affected by what they see about them. You need to understand that when you're making decisions. How will your decisions impact your family? So as Lot moved south, that was the choice he made. As he moved south, the Bible says he moved his tent as far as Sodom. He wasn't living there yet, but he moved his tent as far as Sodom, Genesis 13 and verse 12. Think about sin. Progress towards sin is as necessary as the transgression itself. If there is not progress towards sin, often at least, the sin does not occur. The decision that made all the difference was made before Lot even realized it. Before Lot realized there would be moral consequences to his decision. Now, I know because in my experience, I've dealt with people who made decisions, and I know I've seen those decisions. I've seen the way they turned out. They didn't take into account what might happen. So as you think about a decision you're going to make, you need to think carefully about what impact your decision will have on your family. Don't write it off and say, oh, that won't matter. Oh, it may matter very much. This is why decisions need to be thought through. You need to consider all the angles. And again, I just have a whole catalog of things in my mind where I saw decisions that were made that were not good, that were disastrous. And what I want to bid you to do is don't write off any decisions as not being important. You don't know how important that decision may be. You need to pray. You need to think carefully about what this decision will mean to the moral and spiritual well-being of my family. That needs to be kept uppermost. This is why decisions need to be prayed about, so that God will bring to our attention things that we might not see at first. And then we need to be honest and consider carefully. Sometimes as we pray, what we're telling God is what we want instead of asking God to give us what we need. When you pray, you need to ask God for what we need and willing to accept that. Sometimes you may have to reverse a decision because it's a bad one. And if you go on with that decision, it will be disastrous to you. And I've been talking to the young people, and I want to address one comment to our young people. Remember that there will be times in your life where one choice can ruin your life. One choice can ruin your life. One choice can set the direction of your life in a disastrous way. Lot continued to live down in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then in Genesis 14 and verse 12, then he dwelt in the city of Sodom. Now he's dwelling in the city, not just the direction of it. He's living in the city. Peter says in 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8, this righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their lawless deeds. If you consider that, Was Lot enjoying being down there? Listen to what Peter says. This righteous man, he calls him a righteous man, and he was dwelling among them in seeing and hearing all the things that were going on, all the things that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were doing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their lawless deeds. Lot could have decided, no, we are not going to live in such a wicked city. You know, as I think about an audience such as this, I realize that there are times that you may want to do a thing and you may have pressure put on you to do what you have a pretty good idea you really ought not to do. And yet you go ahead and do it. Now that's what Lot did. He could have decided, no, we are not going to live in such wicked cities. Why did he not? I want to read a passage here. This is in Luke chapter 12. 17, sorry. Luke 17. Right, Luke 17. And verse 32. These are the words of Jesus. I want to read a little bit of the context of this. Beginning in verse 31. And that day he that shall be on the housetop and his goods in the house, let him not go down to take them away. Let him that is in the field likewise return not back. And then the Lord says, remember Lot's wife. I believe that the Lord makes it clear that Lot's wife was the moving force that put the pressure on Lot to live in those wicked cities. Lot's wife, looking back, desired what she was losing. What kind of a person would you have to be to dread the idea, I'm leaving Sodom and Gomorrah? I'm leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. What kind of a person would you have to be to desire what you find in Sodom and Gomorrah? That's what she did. So Lot made the decision to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and live in those cities. If he had not lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, he would not, most likely, if he were not surrounded by all that, all the time, he would not have allowed his daughters to get him drunk so that he would father his own sons. If he had not lived in Sodom, where his daughters were surrounded by all these terrible influences, where his daughters saw all the ungodliness that was going on, they would not have thought. The idea just wouldn't have even occurred of committing incest with their own father. So that decision was disastrous for Lot. He made the wrong decision. And it was a disaster to his family. Sometimes I remember when I was confronted with a move, and my wife, Sandra, said, we want to move. My son said, we want to move. Laura said, we want to move. I said, okay. That was a good move. That was a good move. But sometimes we have pressure put on us from our relatives, and we need to be careful. Our relatives may want something that is not right. We need to be careful when you're making a decision. Be careful. Now I want to choose another character. This is going to be Moses. The story of Moses is told in Hebrews 11 verses 24 through 26, but let me begin our story after. Let me go back. All right, go back to Luke 9. This is a very exciting passage to me. Luke 9. Jesus was transfigured. And as he was praying, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became white and dazzling. And behold, there talked with him two men who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease. Now the subject matter is Moses and Elijah. They were involved in speaking of the decease. What's exciting to me about this, how much did Moses know about the decease of Jesus before he lived with God for a while? For 1,500 years, Moses had known the glory of being with God. And during that time, he had learned some things. He learned that Jesus is going to die. He learned something. That's kind of exciting to me. I don't know what all I will learn after I get to heaven. But I'm willing to learn whatever I can. That's exciting to me. For 1,500 years he'd known the glory of being with God. And so here he appears after that long period of time, and he talks with Jesus. Jesus talks with them. There talked with him two men who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. It's a very exciting thing. At the age of 80, Moses made a decision that affected the last 40 years of his life and his eternal destiny. So he made a decision, and it was a good decision that he made. The Bible says, Acts 7:23, when he was well nigh 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So he came to their rescue, wanted to do what he could for them, to help them. But it was not an easy life that he chose. Sometimes the easy life is not the one to choose. Sometimes you're going to choose a life that's going to have burdens with it. But sometimes it's worth it. For 40 years, the last 40 years of his life, he suffered ill treatment with the people of God. Hebrews 11, verse 25. He suffered the strain of overwork and the burdens of leadership. Exodus 18. And let me tell you something else about this overwork. In Exodus 18, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came to him. And Jethro came and he was observing him as Moses was working. And Moses was having all the people gathered before him with their problems. So as they gathered before him with their problems, let me ask, do you remember? I remember standing in line in college. And back when I stood in line, you waited interminably. So I don't know if you ever had any experience like that or not. I didn't like to wait. So I'm imagining those people coming, and long lines of them, lots of them, to see Moses. And Moses did his best, but there just wasn't time. So Jethro watched all of this, our rule. He watched all of this and he said, "Moses, the thing you're doing is not good. You're going to wear yourself out, and you're going to wear the people out. So what you need to do, if it be suitable to God, you need to appoint men and have subordinates and let them handle the easy things and bring the important things to you. So if that is suitable to you and God, that is my recommendation." Well, Moses did that, and it was a good thing. Now, later on, in Numbers 11, verses 11 and 12, Moses was again strained with work. He said, the people were saying, "We want meat, we want meat." And so Moses said, "God, are these my children? All these children you've given me, do you think I'm going to be able to take care of all these? Where am I going to get food to give them?" And so God had mercy on Moses, and he had him choose 70 men, and he appointed these men as Moses' assistants. So Moses didn't have it easy. He made a choice that brought him a strain and a burden to bear. You know, I can look out at this audience, and I've known you, many of you, for many years. And I know the burdens that many of you faced. I know the things that you have faced. I know that they're not always easy. But you take them on, and you do your best with them. Moses accounted the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. That's why he made his decision. The reproach of Christ refers to the things that, where Jesus was reviled and reproached and so on. People were not nice to him. Moses knew he was going to have some of that kind of thing also. But he said, "I am willing to make this choice and make it stick, because it is the right choice. Even though it's going to be a burden, it is the right choice." So he accounted the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. One of the things I've talked about or thought about, suppose Moses had said, "You know, here I am being called upon to make a decision, either throw in with the people of Israel and lead them, or go on as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, if I throw in my lot with the Israelites, nobody will ever know me. I won't be famous at all. Now, if I remain an Egyptian, then I'll be famous." Isn't that something? How many pharaohs can you name? We don't know any pharaohs, hardly any pharaohs. Does anyone not know Moses? See? He didn't make his decision to be famous, but his decision brought him fame. That's an interesting thing. Now, I want to turn to our decisions, and I want to talk with you about our decisions. All along, we are faced with equally momentous decisions. One of the big decisions that you face is, what kind of a person am I going to be? You have to make that decision. You can't make decisions on what is going to happen to you. You decide what you're going to be. And then you make it stick. When you make up your mind that you're going to be strong, then you become strong. You young people, don't wait for strong to happen to you. You make up your mind you are going to choose to be a strong person. Be a strong person. It's not easy. Oh, it's worth it. Make up your mind to be a strong person. That is a decision, not just something that happens. What am I going to emphasize in my life? Job. And here I have to say some things about a job. Down our way, we have people that when they decide that they're going to work, we have people that decide they're going to work 7 days a week, all day long. And essentially, they think that's going to please God. Let me tell you something. If you decide you're going to work every day, all day, and give no time to God, God is not going to be happy with that. He will not be. You need to think, well, he'll be all right because you're working. No, that is not right. And if you follow that course, you will be lost. You will be lost. So you have to decide, do I want to be lost or not? Down our way, we're dealing with the young men. And they are faithful for a while, at least they appear to be faithful. As soon as they leave home, they get this job that works them all the time. They have no time for God, and they think that's all right. It is not all right. There's not a thing in the Word of God that would justify that. If you spend all your time, all your energy, you know, what do you think about? Do you think about your job? Is that the thing that matters most to you? Is that the thing that matters all to you? No. But there are other things. Sports. Oh, yes. Sports. Everything is based around my team, whatever team that will be. My ball club, my football team, that's my life. I spend all kinds of money. What is your emphasis? What is your emphasis in your life? Job, sports, travel, or serving God? I know people who have devoted their lives to serving God. And if you looked at what they did, you would say, well, that's not a very, very big deal. But they've given their lives to God. And in humility, they serve the Lord faithfully. Nobody knows about them. Oh, again, I can go back through the columns of my mind, lines of my mind, think about people I've known. Nobody knew them, but they were famous. They were wonderful. They were certainly famous to God. Nobody knew them. But I'm sure that God would honor them. As I think about those people, in my memory, they shine. And many of them, you might not even know. But when I think about them, I think of them as shining. Glorious. Here's another thing. Am I going to obey the gospel and be a Christian? Are you going to obey the gospel and be a Christian? You need to be ready. But you need to do it. And you can put it off. And then if you're not careful, do you know what will happen to you? You will die without having become a child of God. And when you die without becoming a child of God, you cannot expect God to say, to pat you on the head, say, well, that's all right. You're a good little boy. No, you're a man now. It won't be the same. You're going to need to obey the gospel of Christ. And you need to realize, as I've told you all, you are going to die. The day will come when you will die. If you don't believe that, just wait a little while, and then it'll dawn on you. I get more and more impressed with my mortality as time goes along. Am I going to obey the gospel and be Christian? There is no other suitable alternative. None. Am I going to follow the way that is more difficult and be a Christian and go to live with God someday, or take the broad way and be lost? Take the broad way and be lost. That's not the one you want to go. When you live, you know, when you're young, you're immortal. You're immortal. Death is way out there, around the corner. It's not even visible. Then as you live, time goes along. Are you aware that some people die without even knowing they're about to? Sometimes they do that. Sometimes you're killed by accident. You didn't know. But as you approach the end of life, you ought to be thinking about death. It's going to come. Long before that, though, think about what are you going to do with your life? And it's not wait till the end of the life, as near as I can determine it. No, because you know what you're going to do? You're going to be sacrificing your living when you could devote it to God. Oh, young people, devote your lives to God. Place your life in His hands. Say, God, I am yours. Do with me what you will. Oh, I bid you do that. In conclusion, I want to read something that Moses said to the Israelites. This is in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy is a wonderful, wonderful book. It's one of the 66 wonderful books in the Bible. Most wonderful books. In that book, Moses said to the Israelites, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before thee life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life that you may live, you and your descendants. That same choice is open to you today. If you're not dead yet, you still have the option. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life that you may live, you and your descendants. So that's what I bid you do. As you think about your life right now, make the right decision. make the right decision. The time is coming when you will, I hope, you will increasingly treasure the hope you have. So go ahead and obey the gospel so that you may have that hope. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.